They would take him by force and make him king. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Force. Force seems to me inseparable from the march of myth and of superstition. It comes, of course, in the guise of worship, of prayer, trying to force a god to do our will, a sin we saw against the first commandment. It comes in the guise of belief, of doctrine, false religion. It would force reality to conform itself to our irrational ideas, those trendy, up-to-date themes of the moment, errors which preen and present themselves as true, as worthy of credence, as worthy of our worship. But they are not. Only God is. So it is by force that these false religions, this modern superstition which holds us enthralled, may reign in society. It reigns supreme, undisputed, like a king of old, reverenced and accepted by a credulous, a cowed public. Modern progressive or liberal thought would take the world by force, as the crowd tried to take Christ in the gospel and force its will on them. And so they say with a modern police force, down, down on your knees and adore. Last week, we looked at Mexican superstitions and idols. I've just returned from my missionary trip there. With a glance inward towards our own private penates, that's what the Romans called their household gods, those interior idols to our own conscience. Long ago, they were summed up by the seven capital sins, covetousness and lust and anger and sloth and gluttony and pride and disobedience. You know them. You may have had occasion to worship at each one of their altars over the years. But you must now dethrone them. You must discard these idols, just as the priest said to that poor devil worshiper, get rid of these idols or I can't do a thing for you. So says our Lord to us this Lent. If ever we want to be free with the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Today I want to speak about our American idols, our modern superstitions and myths held in such reverence as to compose a competing creed to Christianity, and surely a heavy chain to keep us bound in conscience away from truth. Today, modern, up-to-date people would smile condescendingly at the concept of a God who punishes by sending bad weather. There's a lot of talk about that with the Noah movie at the moment. And this God could be appeased by prayer or by penance or by a procession. We hold this to be true because we are Christians. We know the malice of man and the justice of God and the power of prayer. St. James writes about it in his epistle. And yet, what is the religion of global warming if not the belief, mind you, not some self-evident scientific fact? No, it is taking someone else's word for it on his authority, human faith. In order to cement belief, whatever the progressives decide should magically become a new science, it is exempt from any scientific process simply because some liberal at some point has discerned and declared a consensus. That makes it to be scientific and true, and also, of course, quite trendy. Today, in the second decade of this new century, we are faced with a dazzling array of infallible pronouncements which elicit our faith and obedience. All of these new orthodoxies thrown at us, everything from weather to marriage to weapons. And as the police, the last 30, 40 years or so, have taken to crying out now, we must get down and fall flat on our faces and adore the latest god on the shelf of the states or of society's shrine of deities. So today we must profess an unwavering faith that we are being punished for our sins, our ecological sins in the West, because we have violated the sacred ozone layer by burning fossil fuels in abundance. And this punishment consists in weather, not just hot weather, but cold weather too. Oh, and if it's too wet or too dry, that's global warming as well. So the high priests of ecology declare through their acolytes of meteorology, cold winters too, and storm, all kinds of storms. This is man's punishment for not following the rules. But what do they make of that warming trend over the centuries of the High Middle Ages? And what do they make of the little ice age that took place in the 17th century, well before they knew what fossil fuels were? What superstition Superman has set up for himself today, as though you really could do something about the weather. Of course, we know that we can, and that is by prayer. It doesn't end there. Now, they would say that we are silly to consider an inanimate object, an idol, say, as evil in itself. They would say, oh, that's just folk art. That's indigenous religion, and you must respect it. It is held in high esteem today. Well and good, until you confront the religion. Yes, it's another one. Is anybody keeping count anymore? The religion of gun control, which makes a perfectly neutral object, which is indifferent in itself. It may be used for good, or it may be used for evil. It makes it into something intrinsically evil, and that according to degrees. Their propaganda leads inevitably not only to total confiscation of all guns, who would that be good for, but finally enter the thought police to control over how you are allowed to think even about such things. And all of this is based upon the superstition that our good democratic government could prevent every imaginable evil if only they could pass enough laws to cover the given situation, except, of course, for the evil of such a government itself. They distinguish, then, degrees of guilt of these innocent objects, guns. A gun, say a handgun, is bad, but certain kind of assault weapons or rifles are far more evil. Like someone said, it's like demonizing a table knife, because a table knife could be used to hurt a human being, demonizing a table knife, but then saying that a meat cleaver is utterly inadmissible and there needs to be a law against meat cleavers. Could kill people. All of this starts in childhood, and it starts with thought control. It has gone so far. Did you read about the case here in Ohio, in Columbus? A kindergartner, a boy in kindergarten, was suspended from school because at play he went bam, bam, like this, with his thumb and his forefinger. There was some reaction, of course, but the principal held her ground, and she said, oh no, this boy must be punished. Zero tolerance, you know. And this, of course, is based on their principle. Secure them. Scare them when they're young. Make examples of the clearly innocent, and everyone will see and fall into line out of fear of the state. And those who will imprison you based on imaginary threats. The real threat is that of thinking outside the lines, the box that they have made for us, color within it, if you know what is good for you. So that will fall so that we, you and I, will fall into line and fear their gods and fall flat on our faces before them. That is the purpose of so much today. And don't forget, airport security theater as well. You may wonder at the perduring ignorance and superstition I spoke to you about last week amongst the Mexican Indians with their witches and curanderos, the medicine men, and their idols. But don't laugh too loudly at that superstition. Every American is being forced to submit to our common myths. Now, Americanism is not the answer. It's just warmed over liberal lies from a few centuries ago. The only way to preserve our precious liberties, which are a gift from God and not from the government, is to take Christ for our King. And it starts in your own soul. And it has to start this Lent. You better be living it as well in your family life, in your home, before you even dare to speak about it for society. Not to try to force our Lord to be the kind of king we desire, there's enough of that already, but to serve him his way and for his sake in that Jerusalem which is above, which is free, which is the Catholic Church. Free to reverence God, God and not man, nor man's latest myths, to worship God and to love him. The two are inseparable. St. Francis de Sales says, love and adoration are as closely connected as fire and flame. So come, let us adore. And what force could this world summon up with all of its laws and enforced superstitions to counter, to choke out such a fire and such a flame? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.